This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sport of Pro Wrestling podcast. I am Chris Samsa, and this is your New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 Climax 30 Night 7 Preview. The A block of G1 Climax 30 returns on September 30th, 2020, for the 27th all-time G1 Climax card from the storied Korakuen Hall. The G1 has passed through historic Korakuen Hall at least once every year since 2008, and 163 G1 matches have been contested in Korakuen, good for over 10% of the tournament's matches, making it one of the most important stops and often a turning point as the tournament progresses. The A Block's fourth card of G1 Climax 30 will feature a main event between Shingo Takagi and Tomohiro Ishii, as Ishii attempts to get himself his first points of the tournament and what would be his first win over Shingo Takagi. The semi-main event will be a battle of egos, with the established arrogance of Jay White taking on the recently supremely confident Will Ospreay. Third down the card, we'll see if Kazuchika Okada can right his sinking ship by beating the undefeated Taichi in a rematch of this year's New Beginning in Sapporo main event. Kota Ibushi will face off with Jeff Cobb in a first-time matchup, and the tournament card will kick off with Minoru Suzuki against Yujiro Takahashi in their fourth G1 meeting, but their first since 2014. You can find my complete statistical breakdown for every competitor in this year's G1 Climax at voicesofwrestling.com. I have interactive, sortable tables for New Japan's 2020, detailed results and statistics for all 1,490 G1 Climax matches to date, as well as this year's tournament at sportofprowrestling.com. And you can let me know what you find when you drill down that data by dropping me a line on Twitter at TheChrisSamsa. So night 7 of G1 Climax will be an A-block card. It's going to happen on September 30th, 2020. And like I said, from Korakuen Hall. The time will be 6:30 JST, which is the same time that all Korakuen Hall evening shows happen. So that's 4:30 a.m. Chicago time, so that's my time, and then 5:30 a.m. on the East Coast, and 2:30 a.m. on the West Coast, if we're talking about the U.S. Of course, if you're watching live, you're going to be watching on NJPW World, and when I'm using NJPW World, I'm using the NJPW EXT extension. NJPW EXT is the only browser extension for NJPWWorld.com, with features like synchronized viewing parties, dark mode, improved translations and layouts, custom and shared playlists, and much, much more. It takes NJPW World to the next level. Visit NJPWEXT.us today for details. Cool thing about NJPW EXT, it also will link you right to my previews from those G1 cards or from the G1 tournament page right now. So if you want to catch yourself up, if you've got the NJPW EXT extension loaded onto your browser, there will be a link at the top of the page to Sport of Pro Wrestling, which you can then click on the preview of the show that you are watching. So cool little feature, cool little partnership I've got going with the NJPW EXT gang. And you know, hopefully people are finding that useful. So let's take a look at the A block and where we're at tournament to date here. We've got a pretty balanced block. We've got two competitors at the top, two wrestlers at the bottom, and then basically six right in the middle, right? So at the top, we've got Jay White and Taichi, both with 6 points at 3-0. Top middle, we'll call it, we've got Will Ospreay, Kota Ibushi, and Minoru Suzuki, all with 4 points at 2-1. Middle bottom, Shingo Takagi, Jeff Cobb, and Kazuchika Okada, all with 2 points at 1-2. And then bottom, we've got Yujiro Takahashi with 0 points and Tomohiro Ishii with 0 points, both of them sitting at 0-3. When we kind of drill down a little further and we go into match length, we've got Jay White leading the pack here with 58 minutes and 44 seconds. So his matches are averaging 19 minutes and 35 seconds, all victories, might I add you. And right behind that, we've got Kota Ibushi at 57:44. So his average just 20 seconds shorter than Jay White's at 19 minutes and 15 seconds. In that metric, almost just half of what Jay White has put in is Yujiro Takahashi. He's at 30 minutes and 38 seconds over the course of the three matches, so about a 10-minute average. So a little bit of a span there. But clearly whatever Jay White is doing is working, as, you know, even though the matches are going a little bit long, comparatively, he's got those three wins. So nothing to be shameful about. Up there at the top of the block standings with Jay White is Taichi. He has nothing really super standout in regards to his kind of statistics, whether it be pinning attempts or pin attempts against or his match lengths. He's really right in the middle of the pack and all of that, but he's been effective and he's been able to pull out those victories. So he entered this tournament with only 8 points last year, and he's got 6 more matches to try to match that this year. So I've got a strange feeling that, you know, the odds are in his favor. The odds are in Taichi's favor that he's going to have a better tournament this year than he had last year. So at the bottom, unfortunately, you know, the surprise at the bottom of this is Tomohiro Ishii. So Tomohiro Ishii with 0 points coming into tonight's match, and he's actually going to be in the main event against Shingo Takagi. So I guess now's a good time to just like jump in and start talking about that. So the main event tonight is a G1 Climax A block match between Shingo Takagi and Tomohiro Ishii. Tomohiro Ishii, like I said, entering with 0 points at 0-3, and Shingo Takagi entering with only 2 points. So in the grand scheme of things, you wouldn't think that this would be the main event just based on kind of where they're at in the block. So but as we all know, like, everything but the last date of the G1 is booked ahead of time, so we know what the main event is. This is the match that the New Japan matchmakers decided to put on last at this Korakuen A block show. They probably thought that these guys would be a little bit further ahead of where they're at right now. They certainly didn't think they would have 2 points total between them, as I certainly didn't when I was filling out my blocks. So in the main event, Tomohiro Ishii and Shingo Takagi will headline Korakuen Hall together for the second time this year. The stakes are a little bit different entering this match, though. Their previous bout had the NEVER Openweight Championship on the line in Takagi's first ever singles title defense in New Japan. This time, they enter the ring seeking to gain some momentum, each fighting against an early tournament slump. Shingo Takagi enters the match with 2 points, having lost 3 of his last 4 singles matches. He did finally get out of the bottom of the block table with a huge win over Will Ospreay in Kobe on Saturday, and he will certainly look to capitalize on his ability to defeat the assassin as he gets into the ring with new rival Tomohiro Ishii. Tomohiro Ishii enters the match winless with Tomohiro Ishii enters the match winless in his 3 contests so far in the tournament. He has already suffered losses against Will Ospreay, Minoru Suzuki, and Kota Ibushi. This is the first time Ishii has started the G1 Climax 0-3. His previous worst jump out of the gate was an 0-2 start in 2016. Momentum in the results may not be on his side, but Ishii has taken each of his first 3 opponents to their physical limits. His previous bouts with Shingo have been about as hard-fought as one could imagine. Ishii will look to end this Korakuen Hall main event with a match in the win column after what is sure to be a battle of 2 true heavyweights. So now that we finally have at least 3 matches from every competitor, we can start to really look at each matchup in regards to how they've performed in this year's G1. So, with 53:15 of ring time already in the tournament, Shingo Takagi sits 3rd in the A block in the stamina category. Only Jay White and Kota Ibushi have logged more ring time in the Young tournament. Tomohiro Ishii saves his pinning attempts for when he is almost certain he is on the brink of victory. Only Minoru Suzuki and Kazuchika Okada have attempted fewer pins than Ishii thus far in the tournament. Okada's results are a little bit of a false negative, as he's made significant efforts to finish his matches via submission using his money clip. The 18 pin attempts made against Takagi thus far in the tournament are the highest in the A block. That is a product of his matches against Jay White and Will Ospreay, two serial pin attempters. If we go and take a peek at their G1 Climax history, so all time, Tomohiro Ishii has averaged 8.8 points in the last five G1 Climax tournaments, and he has never finished with fewer than 8 points. So he's going to have to rattle off four wins in his last six matches here to match that. Shingo Takagi finished his first G1 tournament last year with 8 points. And since we're in Korakuen Hall, so we can talk a little bit about that. Tomohiro Ishii is 3-5 in G1 climaxes at Korakuen Hall, notably losing to Jon Moxley in the storied venue during last year's G1. And he was the loser in Tomoaki Honma's first ever G1 victory, a main event at Korakuen Hall during the 2015 G1 climax tournament. Shingo Takagi is 1-0 in his G1 climax match at Korakuen. He defeated Taichi last year during the tournament. And if we take a peek at 2020, so Shingo Takagi began the year 4-1 with a victory over Hirooki Goto to gain the NEVER Openweight Championship, and then a series of defenses of the title, including a victory in Korakuen Hall against Tomohiro Ishii, his opponent, in this matchup. Takagi has since cooled off significantly, losing three of his last four singles matches, including two of three in the G1. Tomohiro Ishii has lost four singles matches in a row, dating back to his loss to Hiromu Takahashi during the New Japan Cup. Ishii is 3-5 on the year, Takagi 5-4 so far in 2020. Taking a peek at their head-to-head history, Ishii and Takagi have met twice in singles matches, once during last year's G1 Climax, a 22-41 victory for Shingo, and once this past February in Shingo's first NEVER Openweight Championship defense. Like I said, that was at Korakuen Hall on February 20th, where Shingo defeated Ishii in 27-04, one of Shingo's longest matches since coming over to New Japan, and one of Ishii's longest matches as well. Neither of these guys typically go into that kind of 30-minute range. I think the only time Shingo's done that since he's been in New Japan, at least, was his Best of the Super Juniors final match with Will Ospreay. Ishii, very limited in the matches over 30 minutes, actually over that 27 even. So that pretty much sets up our main event here at Korakuen Hall, Shingo Takagi versus Tomohiro Ishii. These guys are going to battle. I can only imagine the mindset that each of them have coming into tonight's match, especially as they're both near the bottom of the block. They are going to fight hard. So this is one to keep an eye out for, and definitely one to check out. I can imagine it's going to live up to their previous matches, and we will see who can come out on top.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it, and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs. And it ends up being, you know, almost nothing. You know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, sending these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
The semi-main event is kind of a surprise to me. I think seeing Will Ospreay and Jay White. So Will Ospreay with 4 points and Jay White with 6 points coming in the semi-main event, especially guys of this stature. I was a little surprised to not see them in the top match on the card. But these cards are set up early, and maybe the New Japan matchmakers didn't anticipate these guys both coming out of the gates as hot as they have. So the undefeated Switchblade Jay White will do battle with the formerly aerial assassin Will Ospreay. This match will be a battle of new ego versus old ego, as the now supremely confident Will Ospreay looks to establish himself as a heavyweight competitor at the level of the cunning Jay White. White has a much longer history of using his confidence in his favor, so it would be telling to see if Will Ospreay can leverage his current, quote, best wrestler in the world mentality to defeat Jay White and end the Switchblade's 5-match winning streak. In regards to their tournament to date, Jay White, of course, 6 points, 3 wins, 0 losses, his total match length of 58-44, the highest in A block. He also leads the A block in pin attempts, so 16 of those. Will Ospreay, 4 points, 2-1, his only loss just recently to Shingo Takagi. Total match length of 47-57. So that's something to keep an eye on for Will Ospreay, as he ended last year with quite a bit of singles ring time, and he hasn't had a ton of singles matches this year because of the pandemic hiatus. So Ospreay finished his G1 with the most pin attempts in the tournament last year, averaging over 5.5 attempts per match. Across the first 3 matches of this year's tournament, Jay White is setting the pace with 16. Ospreay not far behind, though, with the 14 attempts, as both wrestlers are constantly attempting to end their matches, regardless of whether they have hit a finisher or have even, you know, worn down their opponent. These two have kind of short histories with the G1, but their history suggests that this match may go long. So Will Ospreay's 21-07 all-time G1 average losing match length is the longest all-time among qualifying wrestlers. So for this metric right now, we're using wrestlers with 3 or more losses as a qualifying wrestler there. So 21-07 average losing match length there. And Jay White's 18-04 all-time G1 average winning match length is the longest all-time among qualifying wrestlers. So again, wrestlers with 3+ wins. So you put that together, right? So you've got a long winner, Jay White, 18-04, and long loser, Will Ospreay at 21-07. And that may be a recipe for quite the competition, or quite the number of minutes going under each of these guys' belt. So after Jay White's victory on Saturday night over Kazuchika Okada, he now holds the third best all-time winning percentage in G1 Climax history at 682. A win tonight over Ospreay would move White into second place all-time, leapfrogging former Bullet Club leader Kenny Omega, who currently sits at 690. And that would leave just AJ Styles ahead of Jay White in all-time G1 winning percentage. In regards to Corican Hall, the venue for tonight's match, Jay White is 1-1 all-time in his G1 matches at Corican. He defeated Michael Elgin during the 2018 tournament, and he lost to Toriano during last year's tournament. Will Ospreay lost both of his Corican Hall G1 matches last year. He started that by losing to Kota Ibushi, and then in his second match, he lost to Kazuchika Okada. In 2020, Jay White has been dominant. He's entering this tilt with Ospreay at 6-1 on the year and on a 6-match winning streak. His last loss, that Intercontinental Championship match against Tetsuya Naito on January 4th in the Tokyo Dome. Jay White's 6-1 record in singles matches in 2020 is tied for the best in New Japan among qualifying competitors, matching the champion Tetsuya Naito as well as Taiji Ichimori, both with the same record on the year. So this could have Jay White taking over kind of the 2020 lead, which would potentially indicate that he could petition for a championship match, maybe. In regards to head-to-head history, Ospreay and White have met twice historically in singles matches. Their first meeting was in May of 2017 when Ospreay defeated Jay White while White was still on excursion with Ring of Honor. So that was the Ring of Honor New Japan War of the Worlds at Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City. White was successful in defeating Ospreay in March of last year in the only singles match White won during his IWGP Heavyweight Championship reign. So that was at the anniversary show when the heavyweight champion traditionally fights the junior heavyweight champion, and Jay White, the heavyweight, won that match last year. In the third match down the card, Kazuchika Okada and Taichi rekindle their budding rivalry for the first time since February. So Kazuchika Okada enters this match with just 2 points, 1-2 on the tournament. Taichi undefeated with 6, so he's 3-0. At the time of their New Beginning in Sapporo matchup earlier in the year, Kazuchika Okada was seeking just that, a new beginning, after losing his IWGP Heavyweight Championship to Tetsuya Naito just a month earlier at Wrestle Kingdom. Okada was victorious in their match in Taichi's hometown of Sapporo, but Taichi may have benefited the most from his experience in the singles main event against the Rainmaker. Taichi is 5-1 since that matchup with Okada, and 3-0 in this year's G1. Kazuchika Okada, on the other hand, is near the other end of the block table. With just that 1-2 record during this year's G1, he seeks to even his record with a repeat of his victory earlier in the year. The statistical anomaly for this year's tournament to date for these two competitors is that Kazuchika Okada has only attempted 2 total pins during this year's G1, both in his opening match against Kota Ibushi. During last year's tournament, Okada averaged just 2.44 pinning attempts per match, but he was successful over 36% of the time, as many of them followed his impact finisher, the Rainmaker. So another thing to keep an eye out, I know I've called it out before, Okada not using the Rainmaker and really digging that money clip, his submission hold. So we will see if he can get Taichi to tap out to that. The G1 Climax history, Kazuchika Okada still atop the leaderboard or close to the top of the leaderboard with 51 wins, 22 losses, 4 draws, that win percentage of 662. Taichi now just in his second tournament, he's at 7-5, win percentage of 583. Kazuchika Okada has started 1-2 in the G1 twice before, once in 2013 when he ended 5th in his block, and once in 2018 when he finished 2nd in his block behind Hiroshi Tanahashi. Taichi is already 3/4 of the way to matching his 8-point output from last year's G1. Kazuchika Okada is 9-2 all-time in his G1 matches at Korakuen Hall. His last loss in the storied hall did come in 2013 to Hirooki Goto, so he's got quite the win streak going there. Taichi lost his only G1 match at Korakuen Hall last year to Shingo Takagi. In regards to 2020, Kazuchika Okada's 9 victories are still the most in NJPW during 2020, but now his 5 losses are also 3rd most, behind only Yujiro Takahashi and Sanada, each with 6. In regards to their head-to-head history, these guys have met twice, but really once with any recency. That was at New Beginning this past year on February 2nd when Okada defeated Taichi in 30 minutes and 53 seconds. Before that, they met just once in 2008 before really either of them had established the wrestler they were going to be, and Taichi defeated Okada in just 9 minutes. Taichi and Okada's match at New Beginning in Sapporo was the longest singles match of Taichi's career at 30 minutes and 53 seconds. That 30:53, it's important to note, that victory would have ended in a time limit draw had it been contested under G1 Climax block match rules. So Okada, he does fight a little different during the G1, but every now and then he does have those 4 draws, which is, I think, 2nd most all time in the G1. So sometimes he doesn't time his victories as well as he wishes he could. Kota Ibushi and Jeff Cobb will meet in a first time matchup as the 2nd block match on the card. Ibushi enters his match with Cobb recently familiar with fighting a competitor with more mass than him, as he most recently defeated Tomohiro Ishii to move his G1 tournament to 2-1. Ibushi enters this match with 4 points, so he's 2-1. Cobb is entering with 2 at 1-2 on the Young Tournament. Jeff Cobb's 33:55 in total match length is the 2nd shortest thus far among A-Block competitors. Only Yujiro Takahashi has spent less time in the ring so far in the tournament. Ibushi's 57:44 in total match length is the 2nd longest thus far among A-Block competitors. Only Jay White has spent more time in the ring so far in the tournament, as White sits at 58:44, just 1 minute longer than Ibushi. So it'd be interesting to see who wins out here, the kind of short sprint style of Jeff Cobb or the kind of longer, more drawn out style of Kota Ibushi. In G1 Climax history in Korakuen Hall, Kota Ibushi is 5-2 all time in his G1 matches and the venue. His 2 losses in Korakuen are both at the hands of Toriano, 1 in just 50 seconds in 2015. Jeff Cobb won his only G1 match at Corrigan Hall during last year's tournament, defeating Juice Robinson. In 2020, Jeff Cobb's 8 wins are second most in New Japan, behind only Kazuchika Okada's 9. Kota Ibushi's not having a great year. He's 3-4 on the year in singles matches, but he did spend a significant amount of his, spring and summer in the tag title tournament, or in the tag title picture with his teammate Hiroshi Tanahashi. And like I mentioned, this will be Cobb and Ibushi's first singles match against each other. And Minoru Suzuki and Yujiro Takahashi will meet in the first block match of the card. They haven't fought in a singles match since 2014, when Minoru Suzuki completed his G1 three-peat of defeating Yujiro in the G1. Suzuki enters this match with 4 points, so he's 2-1 on the Young Tournament. Yujiro Takahashi yet to find that first win. He's still at 0. In Corrigan Hall, Minoru Suzuki's had 10 G1 matches. He is 6-4 all-time. Yujiro also has had 10 G1 matches, and he is 3-7 in his G1 matches at Corrigan Hall. Yujiro's average G1 match length in Corrigan Hall is just 9 minutes and 29 seconds, second shortest among this year's tournament competitors, longer only than Toru Yano. Like I said in their head-to-head, Minoru Suzuki did defeat Yujiro Takahashi 3 times. Those are the only 3 singles matches they've ever had, and those were all in the G1 between the years of 2012 and 2014, Minoru Suzuki completing the three-peat. One of those matches in 2012 was in Corrigan Hall when Suzuki defeated Yujiro in 8 minutes and 5 seconds. So that's all I've got for you today. We've previewed all 5 of the G1 Climax A Block matches on the September 30th Corrigan Hall show. I'll be back tomorrow to preview the October 1st B Block card that features a main event of Tetsuya Naito versus Sonata. Of course, you can find this preview in written form at voicesofwrestling.com, and you can give me a follow on Twitter at TheChrisSamsa to interact with me during the G1. I appreciate you giving me a listen and giving me a chance to catch you up on everything that's going on these cards, and I will see you next time on the Sport of Pro Wrestling podcast.